in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall. All we ever want is more, a lot more than we had before. So take me to the nearest shore. Can you hear it ring? It makes you wanna sing. It's such a beautiful thing. Cause yeah, yeah, lots of diamond rings.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. James Martinez back here with another edition of Cash Flow. Back returning today is my special guest, Bob Neverett, who has been gone the last couple of weeks. As I mentioned yesterday before we interviewed the people with fixmortgagefraud.com, I want to thanks again for T.J. Henderson and Michelle Terrell coming from fixmortgagefraud.com for taking the time yesterday. So I have been absent, as has been Bob, because we've been producers moved geographic locations to another place, and we're back online, so everything should be running normally. So what we want to do here is begin where we left off with Bob and our ongoing press conference. So without further ado, Bob, are you there?
Yes, James. Aloha. I'm here in Hawaii, and you're here with me now on the air, and I'm there, and we're everywhere, and the press conference must continue.
Absolutely.
Our slogan is, boy, do they need us now.
Yeah. Right. You want to explain
so is there anything
why?
You want to talk about?
Well, no, I want to hear why. Boy, do they need us now. Go ahead and tell us why they need us now so much.
Well, did you know that the hologram technology was demonstrated on August 28th, the night that President-elect Obama did his inaugural acceptance of the nomination?
No, what is
August 28th.
What is that technology?
Okay, the same night, one of the major networks, I didn't see it, but I've heard a lot about it since, it might have been CNN, they beamed a reporter from one studio into another. You know, the stereotypical idea of beaming up Scotty, the hologram.
Mm-hmm. And they beamed I already know where you're going with this, but keep going. Go ahead.
So they beamed this person into the studio, and everybody was amazed at this image that reappears, right? And it's coming from somewhere else, the image of the reporter. There's also a parallel operation going on. Have you ever heard of Second Life?
Not probably in the context you're talking about.
Okay, Second Life is a virtual community that's been going for many years now where people, you know, they barter, they sell, they advertise themselves, they live a whole life and make money in this virtual animatronic, animated, avatar kind of world.
Right, yes. Okay. I know that those places exist. I didn't know that it was related to that name, but go on.
Yeah, the main one, the most popular one, is called Second Life. Well, Google, the company, apparently offered their version of Second Life over the last 6 months. And people are calling this 3.0 internet reality. You know, the 90s was 1.0. That was people getting on the net and clicking and pointing and visiting websites. Then 2.0 was the past 8 years of people creating their own content. And that was the big thing. So that led to MySpace, Facebook, YouTube, Wikipedia. Those kind of internet phenomena are considered 2.0. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, 3.0 is looming on the horizons, where everybody will be living virtually and doing all kinds of stuff within a living environment. So like a hologram in a way, a hologramic mm-hmm. attempt made digitally. All right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So since this is the leading technology, and it's been happening the last few months, and at the same time Obama accepts the nomination the same time a new technology is demonstrated, there's an interesting confluence of McLuhan's triad, the mixture of sex, death, and technology. What you have here is definitely the sexy image of Obama merged with the death of the financial world,
right,
and then the new technology. This is always the triad that goes on, sex, death, and technology. The point is that you have this hologram projected into a studio, and, of course, it's a new experience for the viewers, but they don't understand how it's made or where it comes from or what it is. That totally matches with the President-elect Obama image that he's a mystery man, and we don't know where he came from and who projected him on us.
Oh, no. I can already see the problematic issues with, well, somebody projected standing up or in front of a TV. How is the projection done of the reporter?
The reporter shows up in the studio that she was projected to standing up. She's right there speaking.
And you cannot tell the difference. It looks like it's authentic.
Apparently it was a little blurry. You could tell it was like bad reception. So you could tell it was not a person. Or you might just think your TV is a little on the blink and for some reason that reporter is being blurred. I think you could tell.
So who is that technology that the public's going to have access to?
Yes, it's beginning at some point in the future. I don't know when. Now, here's the thing. The gadget lovers make this technology. They don't study the effects.
Right.
The users get involved and are massaged by the effects. But as McLuhan used to say, the more involved you are, the less you know. So I've never seen this. I've only heard about it. It's a rumor. People have told me they saw it on television that night. And so I'm not informed in the experience of it. But that gives me an advantage. If I know how to study the effects, then I can look at the meaning of it immediately and make the connection to the Obama inaugural nomination acceptance speech. You know, the point is you look at the forms from a very detached point of view. It's not detached in the literate sense where you are trying to form an opinion of things. You're in the surf, but you're like on the edge of the surf, and you know when the perfect waves are coming, and you don't necessarily ride them, but you watch how the others ride them, and you're positioned in the sea, too. That's what I'm talking about here. That's my position. I'm here from a very informed intelligence agency level, and yet I'm in the surf like everybody else. But I'm not doing the actual surfing.
I like that position, actually. Based upon everything that I've learned thus far, I kind of like that. That's good.
Yeah, but I'm not surfing. I'm watching what new kinds of waves do to the surfers and their rituals and their skills. So I don't need to know much about this.
Hypothetically, with this holographic hologram technology, I already can tell with that, it's going to, as soon as that gets on and starts going, flowing out there, that's going to really drive everybody nuts.
And also stimulate them, especially the younger people. The younger generations, they like the new because they have no stakes in the old media. So they
right.
love the new. It's the
wow.
older people.
There's gonna that's gonna if that exists, that's gonna cause a whole new form of terrorism and war and problems with the judicial system and I can't even imagine that.
Right.
I know it exists, but when it gets out there, that's gonna cause major problematic issues.
Okay, so well, part of what we're doing here is that people now know that technology, the bloom of technology that the 19th century promoted, progress is, through the 20th century has worn off, and people now are suspicious of new breakthroughs, at least the older generations, as they live through new changes. And so to be paranoid about technology is not the meaty ecological view I'm advocating. I'm saying that you can find the poetry, the order underneath this. For example, we're the only ones who pointed out that the Hadron Collider experiment in September, I think it was on September 8th, and everybody's expecting it to blow up the world, maybe, if they didn't know what the matter was going to do that they were unleashing or probing, just like they didn't know in 1945 what the atomic bomb would do. Robert Oppenheimer and those were worried about what would happen when they demonstrated on July 16th, 1945.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But if you're standing in the surf on the sidelines, you start looking at the effects immediately, even before the atomic bomb or the hologram is in the environment. And what the Hadron Collider did, it punctured a hole in Wall Street, because a couple days later, Wall Street collapsed via Lehman Brothers.
Right.
So to make the connection observed on the surface of the Hadron Collider experiment and the effect on Wall Street, what they call is the second 9-1-1, the financial 9-1-1 of the period September 11th into the 15th, that tough weekend when Lehman Brothers went down, that was to make the connection that the Hadron Collider blew something out in Wall Street. It's not obvious, but it's that kind of thinking that this press conference is training. You've got to look for effects in the weirdest places. You have to see that things that are happening are connected and that there's an order to it. And so that eventually should lead to an inventory of effects and causes that make you less paranoid and less running around with a Chicken Little effect with your head cut off. And so there is an underlying pattern of beauty in all that's going on if you know how to look for it. So that's why I don't just emphasize the disservices. I'm emphasizing the services. I mean, this breakdown of financial, you know, situation in central banks around the world is a breakthrough in so many ways. It allows people to get involved in new levels of formation of community and legal exchange and economic exchange. And that's part of the appeal of Obama. He was able to bypass all the old media and represent a new image of security. And that was an effect of what's been happening the past year.
Well, I've read, and I'm presuming that after the inauguration and so forth, that about 6 months afterwards, we're going to run into a whole different wave of issues that we've never run into ever in this country. That's just my own intuitive opinion. I could be completely wrong, but I'm just everybody that I've spoken to that regarding his, you know, taking over the presidential office are incredibly excited, think that everything's going to be fine. And I'm not being negative, but I'm just saying that, the issues of the past are that wave has not been cleaned up yet. It's going to take years. Am I correct?
Yes, I agree with you exactly. Now, let me give you an example. You know, we said we were on 2 weeks ago, November 5th, and today is the 19th, right? So we missed last week. So this is our continuation of our post-election analysis. That election seems, or that whole experience, November 4th and 5th, seems a long time ago now because are you aware of what's going on Congress right now? Secretary of the Treasury Paulson and Bernanke are on the hot seat because everybody is now noticing that the bailout funds didn't do what they were targeted to be and legislated to do.
Exactly.
And here is the hidden ground to all this. I've got the article right here, and this is really what the issue is this week. This is, you know, the automakers are being grilled on Congress on the Hill there, and meanwhile, Paulson and Bernanke yesterday, it has gone past the issues that were laid out before November 4th. We're already into a new spectacle. Now, here's what it is. It says, this article, written on November 10th, is called A Quiet Windfall for U.S. Banks. With attention on the bailout debate back a month or so ago, the Treasury made a change to the tax policy, which becomes even a bigger bomb. Here's what it is. The financial world was fixated on Capitol Hill as Congress battled over the Bush administration's request for a $700 billion bailout of the banking industry. In the midst of this late September drama, the Treasury Department issued a five-sentence notice that attracted almost no public attention. But corporate tax lawyers quickly realized the enormous implications of the document. Administration officials had just given American banks a windfall of as much as $140 billion. The sweeping change to two decades of tax policy escaped the notice of lawmakers for several days as they remained consumed with the controversial bailout bill. When they found out, some legislators were furious. Some congressional staff members have privately concluded that the notice was illegal, but they have worried that saying so publicly could unravel several recent bank mergers made possible by the change and send the economy into an even deeper tailspin. They quote George Yin, the former chief of staff of the Joint Committee on Taxation, the nonpartisan congressional authority on taxes. He says, did the Treasury Department have the authority to do this? I think almost every tax expert would agree that the answer is no. They basically repealed a 22-year-old law that Congress passed as a backdoor. They passed it. They repealed it as a backdoor way of providing aid to banks. So what it is, it's the change to Section 382 of the tax code. It's a provision that limited a kind of tax shelter arising in corporate mergers. It came after a two-decade effort by conservative economists and Republican administration officials to eliminate or overhaul the law. So they want to get rid of this law. They've been trying to for two decades. And it's so little known that even influential tax experts sometimes draw a blank at its mention. Until the financial meltdown, its opponents thought it would be nearly impossible to revamp the section because this would look like a corporate giveaway, according to lobbyists. Andrew D'Souza, Treasury spokesman, said the administration had the legal authority to issue the notice as part of its power to interpret the tax code and provide legal guidance to companies. He described the September 30th notice, which allows some banks to keep more money by lowering their taxes, as a way to help financial institutions during a time of economic crisis. Quote, he says, this is part of our overall effort to provide relief. Now, what it is, it was created by Congress in 1986 to end what it considered an abuse of the tax system. Companies sheltering their profits from taxation is what the abuse was. Companies sheltering their profits from taxation by acquiring shell companies whose only real value was the losses on their books. The firms would then use the acquired company's losses to offset their gains and avoid paying taxes. So what it basically, the bigger companies would buy bankrupt companies, then claim those losses that the bankrupt companies had as their losses so they could reduce their taxes.
Right.
That's what they were doing. This this tax code section 382 banned that. Okay? They didn't allow companies to do that anymore. Uh-huh. But on September 30th, they stopped that ban, and now companies can acquire bankrupt banks like, a lot of the Morgan Stanley and them, they dropped being investment houses and became bank holding companies again, and they would acquire all the damaged banks across the country.
Right.
And they were able to take those banks' losses and claim it for themselves to reduce their taxes. So this
what
is...
What a mess.
Beg your pardon?
What a mess this is. Continue.
Yeah. So Congress finds this out, and they're outraged that this was the real deal, not the bailout.
Right.
The real deal
exactly
was something no one noticed. And so they're at now, right now, a lot of noise about this, a lot of outrage, on top of the outrage that it's becoming apparent that Paulson didn't give any of the bailout to anybody in the economy. He just distributed it among his friends, like Chris Story of WorldReports.org warned they'd do with it.
Right.
They stole
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So it's forget the public, I'm going to help my own, and then we're going to keep messing around in our statements publicly.
Right, and in the middle of this whole problem over the past week, Paulson declared a change in the whole policy. He said, we're not going to do what we said we'd do, then Congress passed the bill saying we'd do this, but we're not going to do that, we're going to do this. And we're going to do something totally different, which people don't know, how can you do that? The Congress didn't pass that.
Exactly.
So then
everybody's just doing whatever they want to do.
It's just like Marty Kaiser, your guest says. There's no control or legality in anything, in surveillance or in economic generation of wealth. You do what you want to do. In other words,
okay, now on that number right there, just what you said, anybody that's listening, anybody that listens to this archive, I want you to listen to what he just said, what Bob just said, and what Marty Kaiser's just said when we talked about that, when we have this electrical environment. Now, I want you to think about that. And as you're thinking about that, I want to think you to think about your own financial situation. And wherever you stand morally, you need to question it based upon what Bob has just said, because it's important to know that that is going on and that is part of the whole thing. The whole thing. But go on. Continue.
Yeah, there is nobody is being ethical right in front of everybody, even if they're even getting coverage and being exposed. It doesn't matter. So
right.
One has to decide what ethics one's going to have themselves in the way they're operating, since nobody else is, and nobody knows what would be ethical.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you now, because I want to put it on the record here as well, but when I interviewed a gentleman by the name of T.J. Henderson yesterday, he had a unique view about the mortgage situation as well as the banking, as well as insider information about what's really going on and what people have witnessed and what people have really are saying behind the scenes all the way some of the highest levels. And this is exactly what you just mentioned right there. I want to just reemphasize that because I don't think people understand that yet. They don't want to believe it. Maybe they're in denial. I don't know. But just what you said in the last 3 minutes, it encapsulates the entire thing, which means where are we going? What's going to happen? There's no who's guiding the rudder of the ship, you know?
Well, there's Arthur Croker, a very good sociologist up in Canada, has written a book. He wrote it 20 years ago called The Panic Encyclopedia, and it's an inventory of all kinds of symptoms and activities across the board in society and corporate and personal life, and all of it has the adjective panic in front of it. So the Berlin Wall went down because of panic Gorbachev. He told me recently that he sees this decade more a panic decade than what he laid out in the late 80s. He sees the Iraq War as a panic war. The financial collapse is a panic collapse. There is incredible panic. And that's what Obama wrote in on. Everybody. I was talking to a person here who's describing the economy in Hawaii. Because it's so dependent on tourism, nobody's coming here anymore. So waitresses are not even able to pay their rent here. And
right.
So there's an incredible fear and panic. And my friend was saying he'd been out of the country and wasn't tuned in too much of what was happening, but he arrived here just recently. And he says, I can see that Obama rode in on this huge fear that people are looking for some external thing to save them.
That's the only reason, my humble opinion, is the only reason everybody got all rah-rah is because he's just a nice Band-Aid for the moment.
Right. It has nothing to do with the literate issues of Washington bureaucracy. The guy who runs the Zogby poll, you ever heard of the Zogby poll?
No.
The Zogby is, I think he's seen as a Republican Party pollster. Anyways, he did a poll, exit polls, on November 4th, and he interviewed people about certain issues. And he's making a documentary of it. It's sort of like Michael Moore's The Fahrenheit 9-1-1. Mm-hmm. Exposing the stupidity in the population about what they think is happening. So he premiered a bit of this on some TV show, and I saw it on YouTube, I think. And he interviewed people coming out, and these were largely Obama voters. And he would say, who runs Congress now? What's the majority party in Congress? The Republicans. And everybody who was an Obama voter thought that Republicans controlled Congress. And that's what they're up against.
Oh, boy.
All right? Mm-hmm. But every one of the Obama voters knew accurately that Palin's daughter was pregnant. They knew that
right.
one.
Yeah. Now, that's important. Right. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, but they had no clue about they didn't know who was Republican. They didn't know who the president was. You know, all these literate, imagistic nomenclature or names and terms they didn't know. They were there to vote for a rock star.
Right. Yeah, that's
and
right.
And for someone to save them. Now, if we're talking about nobody using ethics, that means if you go to school and learn to read and learn history and book stuff, you are damaging your brain. Because you are developing the ability to be linear and consecutive and create an argument or a discussion point and
right.
have logical thinking.
Right.
But when you have people like Paulson changing the rules every 3 weeks and not even explaining why they're changing and just doing it, Paulson's not thinking. He's not remembering what he did before. He's just responding to the panic that he has to massage.
Right. It's like, I don't think people even remember what happened 2 weeks. In fact, people are so ADD. I mean, I can speak on behalf of Los Angeles that they don't even remember what he said 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yes, and another person told me that he recently spoke Obama, and since he was on 60 Minutes. Did you see that on Sunday?
No, I didn't.
Okay. He was complaining that everybody thinks that he's going to save everybody. And he says, look, I'm just here to do my job. And even he doesn't know what his job is to do.
I know. That's why I didn't watch 60 Minutes, because of stuff like that. I didn't need to. Right.
He's totally flaked out. He's complaining about his success. He says, I'm the president and representing all the people. I was very happy to see my racial brothers in the Grant Park night at the big demonstration when he came out and gave a speech in Chicago, and he could see all the black faces beaming that a black person became president. He was saying, that's an illusion. I'm not a black person. I'm not representing you. I represent all the people. He is fighting against his own successful charisma.
Already.
All right. He said this in 60 Minutes.
Okay, and well, hang on just a second. We're going to take a quick break. This is James Martinez, another edition of Cash Flow, with special guest Bob Neverett here talking about the Obama illusion. We'll be back right after this. Stand by, everybody.
Or did another lost angel, city and night, city and night, city and night, city and night, woo, come on!
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of your credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good? Now? That's right. Call our 800 number and listen to the 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
When you open your mind, you can hear with your soul. All your heart can behold.
Spirit Connections is a weekly journey investigating and sharing spiritual topics. We'll help you become aware of how the spiritual worlds connect with us all daily and how to safely access that guidance. Each week, a variety of guests will share how they connect to spirit and enlighten us with their insights. Experts in all areas of spirituality will share their wisdom, as well as what's new in the media pertaining to spiritual consciousness. Now is the time to find your inner spiritual strength. Let us offer logical answers to your questions into the unknown. Knowledge is power and the way to find your own spirit connection.
Still it calls from the deep.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to ARS, the Achieve Radio System. AchieveRadio.com. Hey, what's a .com in
back. This is James Martinez with another edition of Cash Flow. Our special guest today is Bob Neverett, and I want to suggest to everybody as well that tomorrow you definitely tune in, as I'm going to be talking to Mr. Ed Storms about cold fusion. That was initiated and suggested by Bob, but also that whole concept was initiated on this particular broadcast as well. So I'm going to be talking to him about the latest information about cold fusion coming up tomorrow. But right now, back to our special guest, Bob Neverett. Back to where we were. Back to Obama's illusion and concern about his job responsibility on 60 Minutes. Yes?
Yes. It's really great you're going to have Edmund Storms on. That's a very valuable scientist that you're going to have to enlighten the audience. He has one of the best websites on cold fusion, so I'm going to try to catch that at least in the archives. I want to put a plug in for our show being on YouTube.
Yes.
Go on YouTube and search for James Martinez and Bob Neverett, and you will see at least 14 YouTubes taken from our conversations, and Buzz Kosten is the technical wizard who makes these YouTube imagistic collages. And he has even now got newer software to make even more potent YouTubes. So I recommend that people look at our YouTubes, because the collage of imagery is the environment that these people who don't know how to gauge who's running for what, you know, the voters, the modern young voter, they live in the environment that that we show on YouTube.
When I look at that, I might add that, yeah, this is the, if you look at somebody's brain and then put an audio overview overlay onto the public, that's what's going on out there. That's exactly right. I looked pretty closely. It's exactly right.
Yeah, those YouTubes that Buzz Kosten's making are our description of what kids live in. You could not do a linear statement in that collage of imagery, which is what these kids are experiencing 24/7,
right.
You know, and what we're older people are experiencing, but are so slow in our responses, we still think we're looking at a book when we watch those things.
Right. No, the first time I really saw a collage of imagery like that ever used was on MTV a long time ago. Initially it started out on MTV where they played the entire music video from start to finish, like a piece of music would be from the first note to the end of the note. And then what happened is, I think the cell phone, or I don't know what caused them to change that, the music, the audio track would be shortened and more shortened and more shortened, till before they wouldn't even play the whole thing and they'd stick a collage of images and other stuff that wasn't even the video anymore. That's where I first noticed on an MTV. So when I saw these videos on YouTube, I'm like, somebody's tuned in right and is transmitting that particular message. If it were given to like somebody in high school, would probably be more effective if given to somebody that's 70 years old that reads books.
Yeah, yeah. So we're looking at Obama as a 3.0, web 3.0, internet 3.0 phenomenon. It's what we call in the McLuhan knowledge, the effects preceding the causes. For example, someone in the interim here pointed out to me that the hologram projection of the reporter that was on CNN or whatever station it was on was not, it's being argued that it wasn't a hologram because it wasn't using hologram technology. They actually had a circle of TV cameras around the reporter in the studio she was beamed out of. And it was the effect of having all these TV cameras in a circle around her. So it wasn't technically what we imagine is hologramic laser beam technology. But it had the effect of beaming someone to another place, which is the image we've had since Star Trek, I guess, of what a hologram will do to us. Scotty, beam me up, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we have the third world was beamed into the White House. And the meaning of that is reflected in the parallel operation of this new hologram effect. Now, as we've talked about The Daily Show as being the real news anchor reality for people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Way more powerful than Katie Couric or any of those people. Well, a parallel operation during the campaign was Saturday Night Live and the resurrection of Tina Fey as the simulator of Palin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this Zogby poll, when asked which candidate said, quote, I can see Russia from their house, 87% chose Palin, although the quote actually is attributed to Saturday Night Live's Tina Fey during her portrayal of Palin during the campaign.
Yeah. Right.
So people were learning from Tina Fey what highlights image they form, the broad outline image of who was the Republican vice presidential candidate. Now, people have to realize, if you experience a YouTube reality, which is what everybody's living in, you can only form broad outlines, an icon of the part of the brain that needs a centralized image to determine where we're going or what the big picture is and where we're leading to. You know, the brain has two parts. It has the big picture form, the macro view, and it's juggled with the particulars on the micro view. So it's always jostling the micro input with the macro, so you're judging what this particular input that just happened, how it relates to what you think you're doing in a 24-hour period or during a week or during a day, right?
Right.
And so the only big picture image it can be is some cartoon fact that comes out of Saturday Night Live. That's what Sarah Palin was. She was someone who had a pregnant teenage daughter who had a $150,000 wardrobe purchased by her political party, and McCain was the guy who didn't know how many houses he owned.
Right. There you go.
Now,
right.
The Republican site that is promoting this Zogby news item says, "Dear Lord, this explains so much of the apparent liberal stupidity around the country. They are stupid." Now, the Republicans are missing the point. The Sean Hannity's, it can be applied equally to the Republican voters, because no one can form an accurate image in literate terms when you're living in a YouTube reality like Buzz Coast and shows on our particular YouTubes. That is where we're living, people. And
right.
So you see why everybody becomes a conservative in so many ways. The conservative part of ourselves is trying to get a stable, big-picture image. And we're pushed to the extreme so much that we decide that only God can help me in this chaos, so I better become religious. And so more and more fundamentalism happened across all the cultures on the planet over the last 25 years, you know, not just in Christian cultures or Muslim cultures, but in Hindu cultures everywhere.
Right.
This is the attempt to find the big picture. And the very function of finding the macro picture is so under fire that we go to the most extreme prayer and demand that God be part of our lives. So the whole Christian revival, or the fundamentalist revival across the board in the global theater, is totally understandable when you realize the effects of the hologramic overload we've been in since the satellite and digital technology. Now, once you understand it, it's not hard to understand why things are happening.
Right, right.
And so it's not that people are stupid. It's just that the news, the Sean Hannitys and the Rush Limbaughs and the Al Frankens and the Randy Rhodes and all the people who have talk shows are the terrorists. They're blitzing everybody with information constantly.
They are the terrorists, right.
Yeah, and they're making people become dumb. It is not dumbness. They're just trying to find out, well, what image is the overall picture? Like you asked 20 minutes ago, where are we going? Well, what's the point of this?
Right.
Let me
just clarify what you mean by that. So you're saying that in a general person's universe, if they were to walk into an electronics store and see 50 TVs and, you know, digital devices all selling what the news is, if you're to go in, leave a person in there for a minute and say, okay, what's happening in the world, and happens to come back outside, they wouldn't know. Same thing as that's going on now, because there's so much information overload from every different direction that you can't create a linear stream of this cause or the beginning, middle, and end of the story.
Yeah, it's like the micro part of your brain that's taking in particulars is overloaded. And so
right.
The macro part is atrophy. So people become dumb, quote, dumb or nonlinear, in their attempt to have a macro image to complement all the micro input. All right?
Yes, yes,
so,
yes, I agree with that.
And so you can see why it's not a problem that kids don't know where Greenland is or they don't know what Canada is. That is the terrorism of the educational literate establishment, demanding that their reality still be acknowledged in a time where it's totally irrelevant to responding to the post-literate barrage. We need ways to get in a big picture view of the barrage and also our involvement in surfing within it. And that's why we have come to the point now where we can say that we've got four bodies. You that's the big picture model we need. And it's
right.
not a religious model. It's not a political model. It is technically describing the weather. So we're
yes.
answering, or at least I'm answering, the need for the big picture part of the brain. And it, if it has the image of four bodies, then it can orchestrate itself in relation to the particulars. And as we've said in earlier shows, and Ed Storms will probably agree, the answer to this, the answer to this barrage is cold fusion. So politically, our technical answer for the big picture effect of living under four bodies, the where we're going answer is cold fusion.
Right. Absolutely.
That is the only thing that gets us out of this software tyranny. And yet, you try to tell people that they don't need more literacy. You tell Americans this. You tell Randy Rhodes this, Rush Limbaugh. They will be outraged. No, no, we need more people who are literate. We've got to find a way to improve our education. Maybe homeschooling will do it. There, it's almost a fundamentalism in media terms how dedicated we are to literacy as a value generator.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our problem. It is our Achilles heel, and it is, for people's daily lives, the real terrorism.
I've not had a chance to really take – I can only talk about the media environment in Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, and the Hollywood area because it's, you know, they're running part of the machine here. But I've not – I've really wanted to be able to walk into a classroom in Los Angeles and see people be held for 50 minutes for a class and then watch them go – because you'll be able to see it in their faces – all the fractionalized, nonlinear anxiety that they're going to be having because of all the electronics that sits on them or next to them, texting back and forth, computers. So the classroom, I think, for learning doesn't work anymore. Am I correct?
Yeah. No, it hasn't worked for 25, 30 years. And it is really literally a fallout shelter. Education is only a fallout shelter for the chemical body. And what I mean by the chemical body is that structure of knowledge that's been built up since the telegraph. Basically, we call it modern science. You know, the image of the fact we're made up of protons, electrons, and then molecules and chemicals, that stuff that everybody thinks you need to know to be a modern citizen so that you'll understand the drugs the modern medical establishment forces on you, right?
Yeah, and that and something I was going to bring up today to say this is the future is I was sitting in line to purchase food, and two 10-year-old kids are sitting in front of me, and they come up to me and ask me a question, and so I'm getting ready to answer the question, but then they stop and say, "Hey, wait a minute, let me just get this." It's a text that came in. Text came in while they asked me the question. I had to wait like 30 seconds for them to do it. Then when I was about to answer the question, they don't remember what they asked. That happens all the time out here. That is standard operating procedure for all meetings, for all business transactions, coffee houses, restaurants. But it's people make an effort to be polite if they're older. But the younger generation, their brains are just – it's like – interruption after interruption after interruption after interruption after interruption, and they don't even know what they were thinking about before when they asked it because they're being interrupted by some device.
Right. Now, I would say that the school's function is to give those kids a fallout shelter where they sit and are forced to be someplace and look from one point of view for 50 minutes. That is rest for the literate chemical body. And that is the experience of the big picture. They don't have the big picture as a belief system or an image in the mind. The environment of the schools gives people the big picture view. Oh, yeah, I'm a chemical body, and someone's going to tell me stuff. They don't have to take it in. They just have to sit there. Then
right.
they run out and jump among the other bodies once they're back on the workaday grind of living there 24/7. So educate, it really is what McLuhan said, the medium is the message. It's the content of education is irrelevant. And over the last 20 years, people know that kids get to college and they can't even read, all right?
Right, right.
But
that's exactly right.
What?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, but the college establishment and the high school medical or educational authorities do not admit that they are just there as babysitting and massaging people just by giving them seats to sit in. If you sit in a seat, you got a point of view. When you're digitizing and texting, you're traveling through the digital circuits. You're not in
right.
one position.
Right.
Right.
You may, from other point of view, you see someone doing that, and you say, well, there's a chemical body doing that. But their body and mind is traveling all over the place, wherever it's whatever input's on their little BlackBerry. But they need rest by going to school. So the whole point of education is just to give people a place to sit and
right.
and have somebody talk to them. But they do not have to remember the information that's given to them, because that's just a subset, a what's called phatic, P-H-A-T-I-C, a phatic form of filling in. It's like gossiping. So all of science, chemistry, history, and that is now just gossip content for the real effect of education, which is to give people a sit, a place to sit for 50 minutes or for several hours so that they remember there is a chemical body. That's all it's for. And if I was president, I would say this is what it's for. Now, can you imagine the identity crisis of teachers who think they're important in imparting information, just like the bankers thought they were important imparting loans all over the place and calling it profit when it was just debt swaps. They thought they were important. Every institution is expendable. But at
I'm waiting. Not one person, somebody called me up and said, you know, this is all going on with the banks and not one person's been arrested. Now, this bailout thing isn't going to work. And everybody's just running around panicking while Wall Street is, you know, and more companies are falling to pieces. And, you know, what are they going to do with GM and how they're going to get bailed out? Should we bail them out? And, like, if we do bail them out, is it even going to work? I mean, the bailout that they talked about and they went rah, rah, rah about and went nuts has done nothing.
Hey, you just taught me into an insight. I'm glad you said that, because what the bailout means is, it says, look, we need to give the chemical body a place to rest. We need budgets for education so kids can sit in chairs. We need to keep the factories going so chemical bodies can go there and make obsolete cars, but at least they're sitting in a factory and they look like they got one body during the 8-hour work stint. You know, that's what we're asking for, bailouts for chemical body structures.
Yes.
And yet we've moved into the mystery body, which is totally, you know, not measurable. Obama's not measurable. He doesn't even know what he's supposed to do as president. He's complaining. He will get a lot of footage out of just being a president who's complaining that he can't do what he thought he was supposed to do as president.
Yeah, he's already begun his legacy by, I didn't see the interview, but I'm sure he already knows what he's going to be capable of and what he's not capable enough. So before the inauguration even starts, he's already saying, am I correct?
Yeah, exactly. His legacy be, Obama was a mystery man, and he remained a mystery man when he was president, and even now in his memoirs, he doesn't know why he became president, he doesn't know what he was supposed to do, and he doesn't know what the presidency was for. That'll be, I predict, in 20 years, his memoirs. He'll be President-elect Obama, mystery man forever.
Right,
that'll
there
be
we go.
Title. Are we getting any responses? Is there any mystery bodies out there that are interested in exchanging us?
Right, exactly. Now,
no emails, no phone calls, right?
Right, that's right. Because which is another interesting thing to bring up as well, is that I have tried to explain on the air, and I've tried to explain to people on the phone, that people, some people ask me, says, so how many listeners do you have? How many people call in? And first of all, my first question is that, and it's always been this way, nobody likes to call in and talk about the money problems that they're having, even if it's anonymous. They don't like that. They're embarrassed. It's like asking to talk about sex. It's just like, ooh, can't do that. Another thing is that nobody's listening in real time anyway, because nobody's in real time. They're scatterbrained all over the place. And if they were listening to us right now live, they wouldn't even be listening. They'd probably have a TV on or be doing something else, multi-something. So
yeah.
Nobody's really listening. Nobody's really.
They're not listening now,
focused.
But they will listen.
I guess they'll
listen later, and you get calls from the archives.
That's right, and they've come from all over the place. But they'll listen to the archive. And when they listen to the archive, they will call me like I just said that 3 minutes ago.
Right.
So
true that nobody's listening as it applies to the regular environment. So that means the polls are fraudulent. Because nobody could be paying attention to any program in live time that the polls are trying to see which is the best shows to put the advertising rates high on, right? So that is not true possible because nobody knows what's happening. So it's really just the machines talking to themselves and pretending there's ratings and pretending that someone's listening.
That's it. Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah. It's a total fiction. Now, the I think that's – you say something.
Well, what I wanted to bring up is if these guys have this particular bailout, okay, it didn't work, now they're going to come back. Okay.
Bailout means to give a bailiwick, a place where people can rest.
Right.
And pretend that this is the insight for me today, that we're bailing out the chemical body, not the functions. None of the functions are meaningful. Nobody's listening. It doesn't relate to anything. It's just show up and pretend you're working.
Yeah. That's it. I'm like, okay, so these guys, Paulson's been coming out every other week practically in the last 6 months saying something. But when he comes out and says something, everybody bounces off what he says, and it goes into, and then it reports to like 50 other stations, and it goes all over the world, and everybody distorts and deletes and generalizes what he said. It comes out. Everybody goes rah-rah about it. It stimulates some people a while. Nothing happens. Now he's going to come back, and it's like they come back and they make these statements which mean nothing.
That's right. And the stock market goes up and down, you know, 300 points, 400 points, up and down every other day. And every day I've been watching it, they have to come up with a reason. And they've run out of reasons. They have to come up with a reason for why the market went up 300 points today. And it's usually one little obscure company made a statement, oh, yeah, it looks like we're going to make some profits this year. We're actually going to make some money. They say, oh, everybody got excited. Hewlett-Packard is going to make some profit this year. And so it goes up 500 points.
Right. It's like, who has the mic with the most people? It's like if you I guess the if the machines are running, bouncing off each other, whoever's got the mic that's connected to the most of the machines at the same time, at the same moment,
yeah.
If you catch them, it's like the bigger net of fishing. Because it was interesting, I was speaking to somebody yesterday that works on that show, Deal or No Deal, about the financial thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that. It's like the number one game show.
No.
And oh, it's the number one game show, and I was making jokes about it because they're talking about winning these millions of dollars, and I'm like, when people watch that, they have no idea what in the world is really going on with the money system anyway, and when they are watching it, she told me the producers have had to change it all around because people get bored like in 5 minutes. There's been more shows canceled in the last 3 or 4 months that were put a lot of money into because they can't get people's attention. No matter
right.
who's in it.
Now, we're coming near the end, so I want to mention this. If I actually had a meeting with Obama in his office with his aides and his chief of staff, and I'm sitting there telling him what we're saying on there, you realize that his aides would be outraged. They'd claim you were insulting the office, the image of the office, and it would be a very violent response. And even Obama would say, well, what I said on 60 Minutes is my private view. It's not what I do as a president. I have a whole corporate role here. And so even to tell anybody the facts of what's going on will threaten their identity, their institution. That's
right.
Why we are the healthiest terrorists on the media today, because we are so real what we're talking about. It's so frightening that we will be avoided. Okay.
Right. Thank you. Exactly.
and therefore, the lower ratings we have, the less people claiming to be listening to us, is good because we are not trying to influence people. All those Randy Rhodes, Al Franken's, and Rush Limbaugh's, and Sean Hannity's who are influencing people are the people creating the violence and the identity crisis.
That's interesting. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I was in Beverly Hills a couple days ago having lunch with a guy who works at one of the big banks, and he was just saying he was looking at me because I don't know what my job is anymore. There's no real financial truth. I mean, he's working at one of these prestigious firms in Beverly Hills. He said he didn't even not sure what his job was anymore. Because if all
the
financial
body.
Things are fraud, what am I talking to people for? I get paid to talk to people about stuff that's not even true.
That's right. Okay, so we're in the mystery landscape. It's been that way for about 6 months. Now, nobody's known why anything is happening. Nobody knows why the subprime mortgages cause this crisis. And if you look into detail, that's not the cause of the crisis. So we're in the mystery landscape. So we have a new president for this period of mystery. And yes, the poll point that McLuhan predicted, that categories are irrelevant. He said that 40 years ago, under electric conditions, any nouns are irrelevant. It's now a global effect. Nobody knows where we're at, and you can't define where we're at, and wow, what kind of emotion does that lead to? Well, we call it fear, but it's probably not fear. It's probably a kind of combination of schizophrenia, hysteria, paranoia, panic, and ecstasy all together. And bailout
right.
means give us a place for me to go to and claim that I'm doing something. Please, keep my environment here.
That's right. I couldn't agree with you more on that note. So I will, hopefully, you will, whether you're listening in real time or not, listen to Mr. Storms tomorrow. And you'll be back next week. So everybody, this is another edition of Cash Show with James Martinez. Please feel free to take this archive, pass it around to your friends in due time, whenever that will be, now or 5 minutes from now or a week from now. We'll be back tomorrow with Ed Storms, special guests. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Everybody have a great rest of your day. James Martinez with Cash Flow. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm no faith in constitution. There's no bloody revolution.
Gentlemen, you listen to ARS, the Achieve Radio System, AchieveRadio.com. Hey, what's a .com in it?